during 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus' disciples had the experience of encountering him repeatedly as he taught them. For them, it was still an experience of God with them in Christ. God reaching out to them in Christ, God coming towards them in Christ. The experience of the Holy Spirit was something different. It was the experience of God alive and active within them, within the heart of each one, within the community of believers. This was, if you like, the third aspect of God that they had discovered. God beyond us, God the Creator, God the Transcendent, God with us in Jesus. And now the experience of the Spirit, God within, God among. Not as someone who comes to us from the outside, as it were, God dwelling within us, dwelling among us as a community of believers. The striking thing about this event, well, there are two things I want to underline from that account in Acts. The first is the language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Libya, Arabs, people from Crete, people from Rome, people from Anatolia, people from all over, people of many different languages, hearing the message, each one in his or her own language. Now that may seem like something which would be a wonderful gift to have. Some people do have the gift of many languages. But this is a gift that all of us can have. This is not about those apps and those language tools and those endless vocabulary lists and verb paradigms and grammar books. There is a universal language which all of us can speak. And it is the language of the flesh, the language of flesh and blood, the language John's Gospel tells us, the language that God chose to speak to us in. The Word, John says, was made flesh. The Word was not spoken to us in Greek or in Aramaic. The Word was not spoken to us in Hebrew or, God forbid, Latin. Just remember, Latin was the language of the people who crucified Jesus. The Word was spoken to us in the flesh. And that is a language every one of us is capable of speaking. And that is a language that the whole world is capable of understanding. The body language of love, the body language of humility, the body language of hospitality and of generosity. Everyone, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, they're all in Iran. The people from Mesopotamia, Iraq, the people from Syria, the people from Libya, the people from Egypt, the Cretans, the people from Rome, Greece. Everyone, every human being knows that language, both to speak and to understand. And that is at the heart of the gift of the Spirit to us, to create of us, to make of us the body of Christ with many members. But together, not just individually, but together we speak body language as church. speak body language as church. Together as a community, as a church, we are called to be servants. We are called to work for peace. We are called to be welcoming. We are called to speak in our flesh and blood, as community, the message of God. Which brings us to the second thing. What was it? What was it that the people were speaking about on that day? Luke tells us they were speaking about the mighty acts of God. They were not speaking about what all these people had to do. They were not speaking about a list of obligations or laws that were to be observed. They were not speaking about a series of doctrines. They were speaking about the mighty acts of God. We so often think of religion, even the Christian religion, as being about what we are supposed to be doing. But what was spoken by the church, by the earliest church on that day, is what we are all called to speak. We are to speak of what God has done. The gospel is not about what we are supposed to be doing. The gospel is about what God has done. What God has done in coming among us, what God has done in expressing God's self in the body language, what God has done in showing God's self humble, non-violent, disarmed, what God has spoken to us by raising that hand that was pierced by the nail, raising it in blessing and saying, "Peace be with you." The mighty acts of God, the mighty act of God is the cross and the resurrection. The mighty act of God is that great act of forgiveness and of forbearance, of patience and humility, of obedience, of integrity. That is the mighty act of God. And that is what we are called to speak of. Not what we are supposed to be doing, but what God has done, what God continues to do, what God has shown himself to be in Christ Jesus, and how God continues to be. That is our task as church, to express in the language of the body as a community and as individuals the great good news of what God has done. Paul says to the Corinthians, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit." Pretty much anyone can say Jesus is Lord. It's easy, just three English words. But to truly say Jesus is Lord, to truly make that profession of faith, one has to do more than say those three words. The only way to say truly that Jesus is Lord is to say it with our bodies, to say it by the way we live, to say it by the way we make a community of welcome, of hospitality, of humble service, of peacemaking, of justice doing. Otherwise, it's just words. What the Spirit enables us to do is to express in our shared flesh, in our shared body and blood, the great good news that Jesus, the one who was obedient even unto death, the one who was prepared to die rather than to defend himself, the one who would not strike back against those who unjustly treated him, the one who forgave those who abandoned him and denied him. But this one is Lord. This one is the one who bears the name of God. And that is the good news. That is what the Spirit will enable us to speak in our body, the body of the church, which is the body of Christ, and in the bodies of each one of us, as our hands reach out, as our legs take us, if they can, in search of those who are lost and in need, in our hearts open to those who weep, in our embrace of those who need friendship and welcome. And so we celebrate today a wonderful moment. We celebrate today the becoming of our community as a body, called to say in body language, Jesus is Lord.